Welcome to this video series in language learning, teaching and assessment. In this video we continue talking about dialectics, which we started in the previous video, and when we discussed how dialectical thinking can change our understanding of different phenomena. And here we'll talk about specifically about teaching and learning. We will talk about teaching and learning activity, in which teaching and learning are interrelated and develop and change together. We will then discuss how this sort of a unity or dialectical unity of teaching and learning, or then obuchenie as a term, is related to development in Vygotskian thinking and development of a language learner in particular. So before we get to a discussion of obuchenie proper, I'd like to discuss a bit this picture created by a French artist, Jean-Marc Cotté, in 1899. That was a series of postcards he produced where he imagined the year 2000. Here we have a classroom with the magic of technology. Then the knowledge is pumped into the learners' heads, or the brains, right? So that was the vision. Easy, effortless, just you pump the knowledge. Teaching directly being transferred to learners. And the learners are kind of void of any agency in this process. And I think, well, I hope that this vision is a bit different now, and being less about efficiency and more about creativity, hopefully. Although some might say the classroom hasn't changed much, but I'd like to think it has. Let us think about this relationship between teaching and learning. And is it really that unidirectional, like a cause and effect relationship? Well, first of all, a bit of trivia about the term. Vygotsky used the term obuchenie, and for the lack of a better term, others nowadays in books and papers and study guides, they use the same word. One very interesting reason. So think about the word formation in the Russian language. So obuchenie comes from the verb обучать, which means to teach. There is another verb, обучаться, which means to learn. Both of these denote a process, but the agency is different, right? In обучать, the agency is with the teacher. In обучаться, the agency hopefully with the learner. And the word обучение is interesting in that in everyday understanding of its meaning, it can mean either or both. Right? The teaching or the learning process. The way it is used in sociocultural theory is neither learning or teaching. It is both dialectically related. One becoming not independent from another, but a part of the same process, teaching, learning process or activity. As we discussed in the previous video when we talked about dialectics, in dialectical thinking, teaching and learning are not just related. This relationship is not unidirectional, but it's like a dance. Right? Teaching and learning are interconnected, and they move and they change together. But teaching still leads learning. So as a term, this becomes useful as it helps to see teaching and learning not as separate processes in the classroom, but parts of the activity of teaching and learning, which is sort of a qualitatively different from the sum of teaching and learning separately, right? A good analogy here is the water, right? As a chemical component, we know it consists of oxygen and hydrogen, but water has different properties, right, which are qualities which are not the same as that of separately of oxygen and hydrogen. And these qualities emerge from them being together, these parts of water. So how does this refer to development? So Vygotsky said the following. Well, it's a sort of translation, but I think it captures very closely, clearly what he meant. In a previous video, we talked about learning leading development. In the formal education context, it's better to say that обучение leads development. So rather, it should be organized such as the opportunities for development are created, right? Which bring in light learners' functioning, which would not be possible without the teaching learning process or activity. Well, remember in a previous video we talked about zone of proximal development, that is what the learner can do when others or support from others or the tools is available to the learner. And we mentioned that the zone of proximal development is not really a zone, but it emerges, right, in an activity. So then обучение creates this zone of proximal development. Let's think about the following situation. When the learner of the Finnish language encounters a dialogue like above, Menon Kosuoman, Menon Van, and they go to a Google Translate, so they have no idea what it means, right? And they see this. Should we go to eat? Let's go. So they see it kind of a formula, really, without thinking much what it means there. So Google Translate becomes sort of a tool which mediates their understanding of Vaan. Maybe they start responding in the same way when they hear this Menanko and this Menanvaan, right? Using it as a formula, for example. And they're quite successful in using that Vaan without like really thinking what it means or understanding what it really means in the Finnish language. Now imagine that the teacher is available, right? And first of all, they can say, explain that Vaan is actually is used in the spoken language, running, right? It means sort of wine. And then the learner would be like, well, let's just go. That sort of doesn't add up, really, in this situation. The teacher could then explain further, right, that Vaan, it sort of, well, first of all, it makes it a bit more polite in a communicative situation, like a Menon and Vaan. Second of all, it shows your intention that you really mean it, like, yes, I do want to go. And that is really, is it creates a different kind of understanding, different kind of development, right? Allowing the learners to use this Vaan in other situations, right? In spoken situations, communicative situations, when they want to express their intention to actually do something. This is how teachers can create the development with the learner, but without the learner kind of verbalizing that they have got this struggle, right, or making the connection with say, other spoken forms like tieden, for example, seeing this, okay, this is how it's formed, right, and then asking, okay, well, what does it mean? This, well, why is this just here? That the teacher would not be able to actually guide the learners more. So it's not just learning or teaching, they're them working together. So that creates a different path for the learner to develop. And this is not the end of the development for the learner, because remember, speaking completes thinking as well. So as they start using this VAN in other communicative situations outside the classroom, right, their understanding of its use develops further, right, building on what they're learned in the classroom. So quite a different outcome. So Abuchenye should then target the zone of proximal development, abilities which are in the process of maturing, or as Vygotsky called them, flowers, buds and flowers of development, creating that sort of a different quality of fruits, right? The outcomes of that development, depending on the activity in which learners are engaged, together with teachers, as their abuchenye, the process of abuchenye unfolds. Surely, targeting this teaching learning to something which is beyond the learner's reach, regardless of the effort that the teacher make and the learners make together with the teacher, wouldn't be very useful in the classroom, right, as we showed in a previous video with the snowman and the notes building the seventh chord. So we'll talk about ways to systematically recognizing where to target the abuchenye process or activity in a series of videos and assessment. But and we add the links to those videos in this video's descriptions. But this concludes this video, in which we talked about the application of this dialectical thinking to the teaching learning process or activity in the classroom. Thank you.